Morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. Today is Monday, the 7th of October, 2013. I'm Ken Fate, and this is Raven News. The Federal Subsistence Board is taking another look at the criteria for deciding whether or not an Alaskan community is rural. Rural designation is a key step in granting subsistence priority to a community. Subsistence users, for instance, can harvest halibut on long lines, or dip net sockeye, or hunt for deer past the closure of the sport season if they live in a federally designated rural community. Without it, residents have to follow sport rules and bag limits, which are typically much lower. Historically, the board has used a population threshold to help it make a determination about a community's rural status. Sitka is the largest rural community in Southeast for subsistence purposes. Members of the Federal Subsistence Board held a hearing late last month to sample opinion about Sitka's rural designation. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The official name for the process is rural determination, and it typically happens every 10 years after the U.S. Census is released, but that's not what is happening at the moment. Rather, the Federal Subsistence Board has been directed by the Secretaries of Interior and Agriculture to review and reconsider how it decides which Alaskan communities are rural and to make recommendations for changes. The 1980 Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act specifies that subsistence should be a priority in rural areas. The problem is that Congress didn't actually define rural in the law. It simply excluded Alaska's major cities at the time, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Ketchikan. So the Federal Subsistence Board has been using population guidelines ever since to determine a community's status. Below 7,000 residents, a community is presumed to be rural. If a community has over 7,000 residents, it's presumed to be urban, unless it has rural characteristics. Sitka falls well above the threshold, but residents who turned out for the hearing were unanimous that Sitka retains significant rural characteristics. Mayor Mim McConnell paraphrased an assembly resolution.
Sitka is an isolated rural subsistence community, unconnected to any road system, and the vast majority of Sitka residents, over 90%, harvest large quantities of traditional, personal, and subsistence use fish and game year-round for both themselves and for others, and consider this a basic part of their cultural, economic, and social identities.
McConnell called the threshold of 7,000 arbitrary and urged the board to raise it to 11,000. That idea was seconded by other testimony. Tribal elder Harvey Kitka observed that Sitka's growth over the years has not fundamentally altered the lifestyle described by the mayor.
Seemed like we've always had this type of style that where we harvested and shared as a community. The non-natives that have come to this community have learned to do the same thing over the years.
The Alaska Native Brotherhood's Nels Lawson stressed that the correct use and respect of resources was integral to cultural education in Sitka. Tracy Ganyu with the Sitka Conservation Society testified that education crossed cultural boundaries.
Generation after generation, skills are being passed on and shared with young people to continue and perpetuate living with the land. At SES, we are teaching youth how to identify wild foods, how to harvest, prepare, and preserve them. These skills create connection to place, community, responsibility, and keep us fed. Subsistence is our way of life. It is what defines our home.
Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins argued that some aspects of rural were measurable. He thought roadlessness was a good start.
The amount of roads that community has, I think, also is highly significant. I represent Prince of Wales Island. I drive around Prince of Wales Island when I'm down there. Sitka has 7 miles of road in each direction. Beyond that is unpeopled wilderness. Sitka is hemmed in by oceans and mountain and forest. Beyond that is wildness, and that is, I think, what this community loves about Sitka, is that it feels wild, and it is remote, and it is rural.
But no one made a stronger case for Sitka's connection to food than resident Bob Sam. He told a story about being sick and hospitalized and discovering that the remedy was not in a pill bottle.
This food is medicine. It keeps me healthy. My weight is strong. I am tlengket. My food is what makes me what I am today.
The review of the rural determination criteria stems in part from objections leveled by the State Department of Fish and Game following the last time Sitka received a rural designation in 2005. In a letter, Commissioner Mackay Campbell wrote, quote, "I am deeply concerned that recent decisions affecting the status of subsistence users as rural or non-rural residents and findings regarding customary and traditional subsistence uses have been made without strict adherence to established processes and policies," close quote. Sitka not only exceeded the 7,000 population threshold, Campbell argued, but the rural characteristics Sitka claimed and the harvest patterns of the community also had not been thoroughly evaluated. The Federal Subsistence Board is taking public comment on the review of the rural determination process through November 1st. It plans to propose changes by April of next year. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
To find a link to provide public comment on the rural determination review or to view ADF&G Commissioner Mackay Campbell's letter, visit our website, kcaw.org. A Sitka seafood processor has recalled 2 years' worth of product after a state inspection revealed that monitoring equipment had failed. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced the recall by Big Blue Fisheries on September 30th. It covers all vacuum-packed smoked fish produced by Big Blue for the last 2 years. Greg Johnstone, the environmental health officer with the State Department of Environmental Conservation, inspected Big Blue on September 20th and discovered that a recording graph on Big Blue's smoker was not working.
On a commercial smoker, there needs to be a chart recorder that records the temperature of the fish in the smoker on a continuous recording graph. And for smoked fish here in Alaska, well, throughout the U.S., it needs to reach an internal temperature of 145 degrees for at least 30 minutes. And there has to be a continuous record of that. Big Blue Fisheries chart recorder was broken, and they hadn't been keeping records as they were required.
Mike Keating with Big Blue says his company cooperated with the DEC and the FDA, which distributed the recall notice nationwide. Keating says he destroyed about $20,000 worth of product with the DEC standing by. He's used his invoicing records to notify customers of the recall directly. Keating stresses that no dangerous bacteria was discovered in any of his company's product, and given the 2-year extent of the recall, it's likely that much of the product is not around anyway. Greg Johnstone with the DEC says this is probably the case.
The likelihood that they'll recover much of the smoked product is pretty slight because it probably will have been eaten.
Mike Keating says he'll replace or refund any product returned to him in Sitka. He says he's already spoken with some customers who prefer to keep their fish despite the recall. He thinks the DEC and the FDA have blown the issue out of proportion. Keating owns several businesses, including Big Blue Charters and the Cascade Inn and a boat building company in Washington. He's fired the manager who failed to repair the chart recorder, which would have cost $600 to fix. He plans to keep a closer eye on operations in the future. Greg Johnstone, who oversees compliance for all state-licensed food businesses in Sitka, including restaurants, says he's not had a recall of this scale in 8 years. He says most people keep pretty good records. Absentee ballot counting in Sitka on Thursday made no difference in the outcome of this year's municipal election. Write-in candidate Stephen Eisenbys finished on Election Day within 50 votes of a seat with 77 outstanding absentee ballots. But that difference is statistically difficult to make up in a typical election. Eisenbys picked up 39 absentee ballots, but the election winners, Aaron Swanson and Ben Miyasato, each picked up 37 and 46 votes, respectively. The two will be sworn in this evening at the conclusion of the Assembly's old business. The Assembly has rescheduled its regular meeting this week to Monday because of a reception planned tomorrow for the Alaska Travel Industry Association Conference. Over 400 attendees will be in town through Thursday. Besides seating new members tonight, the Assembly will consider a buy local procurement policy and a discussion on the installation of a tower to test the community's potential for utility-grade wind power. The regular meeting begins at 6 p.m. tonight. Raven Radio will provide live coverage beginning at that time. Join me at about 12 minutes after the hour for an interview with the Sitka Sound Science Center Residence in Fellow. That's going to be Dr. Joe Cook, who is here from October 6th through November 4th. He spent quite some time studying mammals in southeast Alaska. We'll talk with Dr. Cook here in just about 15 or 20 minutes. This is Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Have a good morning. And I've got enough time to let you know that you're invited to a free webinar called Climate Change Research on the Copper River Delta, the Emerging Effect of Local Variation. That's tomorrow morning, 10 to 11 a.m. at the University of Alaska. For more information, contact the Cooperative Extension Service at 747-9440. And the Sitka High School Parent Advisory Committee meeting is tomorrow from 6:30 to 7:30 in the evening at the school library. The new vice principal, Johnny Cotton, will be introduced, and the new gradebook system will be discussed.